Well, I'd like to ask you to turn your Bibles, please, to Joshua chapter 1 as we begin a new year. There are always things that we say, well, let's bring in the new year, out with the old and in with the new. And that's what we're looking at when we come to this part of the calendar. This is a brand new year, and as Tony expressed to us, 2021. Wow. Time goes on, and some of you who are the older generation, notice I'm saying you who are the older generation, 2021, that's well along. Remember when it was 2000? And they said, oh, what's going to happen at midnight on 2000, Y2K? Remember all that? Remember there was a concern that the computers would not function properly and planes would fall out of the sky and everything would fall apart? Well, it never took place. Because the Lord's in control, and when He wants us to be with Him in glory, the church, that time will come. We won't have to worry about those things. We'll be with Him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we always stand on the promises of God, making aware of the fact that He's with us always, as are His promises. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning from Joshua chapter 1. So I'd like to begin by reading the first 9 verses of this chapter, Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 through verse 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. One thing we want to do is to start out the new year with prayer. And let's do that right now. Father in heaven, we commit this time to you now. We ask that you would, through your Spirit, speak to each person's heart in this audience. Whether it's virtual or whether it's physical, we pray, Father, that your Spirit, whose ministry is to take of the things of Christ and remind us of our responsibilities and our blessings in Him. We pray that the Holy Spirit would indeed honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and lift Him up. Thank you again that our hearts have been prepared through the ministry of music. We pray now that through the ministry of the Word, that you would direct our hearts towards you. We ask these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Well, for the children of Israel, as they stood on the banks of the Jordan River about to prepare to go into the new land, it's got some parallels to the year that we're in right now, the part of the calendar that we're in this very moment. We have just said goodbye to 2020 with all the challenges that it had and some blessings. You know, we have a tendency to look at all the negatives that occurred in our lives, right? But sometimes the Lord sprinkles His wonderful blessings, should I say sprinkle, maybe I should say He pours blessing upon us as well. So even though there's challenges and trials like we experienced in this last year, and no doubt in the new year ahead of us, 2021, there are also some opportunities that we have as well. And for the children of Israel, as they were on those the shores of the Jordan River, prepared to go into the land that God had promised them, God wanted to review with them what was required in order for them to enter into their inheritance. That's what we're talking about right here, entering the inheritance. The nation of Israel had been promised way back in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8 that God would take them to a land flowing with milk and honey. When God said, I will bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey, He meant it. But you know, when they were in the wilderness, by God's design to go through the wilderness to test their hearts, to see what was in their hearts, whether they would obey the Lord or not, he brought them to the place called Kadesh Barnea, about 2.5 years in. You know, it wasn't God's design for them to go 40 years in the wilderness, was it? His intention was to bring them perhaps 2.5 years or so, and then to bring them into the land of promise. But you know the story in Numbers chapter 11. It's very clear they went in, and they went in unbelief. They had the opportunity to go in, and at that point, at Kadesh Barnea, 2 years or so into the journey in the wilderness, they failed. They lacked the faith. You can read all about it, Numbers chapter 11 and the following chapters. And when they had that opportunity, they failed, and so they backed up, and they said, you know, the inhabitants are greater than we can handle, we can't do it, and they're leaving God out of the picture. A lot of times the problems with Christians is they're leaving God out of the picture and trying to figure out things and problems and all sorts of things in their own strength. And so that's why we need to rely on the Lord, rely on his promises, rely on his word. And it's much the same for us as we head into 2021. As we go forth, we have no idea what the year holds for us. It's the same thing last year. This time last year, 2020, we're saying, let's go 2020. Sounds good, right? It's nice, even even you know, numbers, 2020. We had all heard these phrases. We want to have 2020 vision and everything like that. And who would have thunk it that as we went into the year, not only 3 months into the year, we hit this pandemic and the shutdown and everything that occurred afterwards. And then the riots that you heard in the news that took place across the country and all sorts of problems that this country has gone through. We would have never thought about it. Because the Lord knows the future, we don't. But we hang on to the Lord. We hold on to the Lord. We follow the Lord. We read his word. We obey his word. And he gives us the help and strength that we need. And so now, after 40 years in the wilderness, the nation of Israel is standing on the shore of the Jordan River, and they're about to embark on this new journey, this new venture into this land. How are they going to do? What are they going to see? And what's going to be in store for them? Well, chapter 1 here, Joshua tells us what were some of the prerequisites for entering into our inheritance. And in the time that we have together, I want to just go over these four easy to understand, but difficult sometimes to follow, principles that we have from chapter 1 of how to enter into our inheritance. The first thing I'd like to point out is this, is that there is indeed a land to possess. If you notice here in the opening verses of chapter 1 here, it says, after the death of Moses, Moses represented the law, and it was all finished, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, the Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. There is the commission. There is the command. Move forward. Don't hold back. This is your time to move ahead. We could say the same thing for 2021. Here is the opportunity to put what was behind and move forward in the things of the Lord. And so God is reminding Joshua and the children of Israel, there is indeed a land to possess. And for the Christian, there is a land to possess. There is an inheritance that is ours that Scripture talks about. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says that we have an inheritance reserved for us in heaven. And that's true. It's God's word, so it's true. It doesn't fade away. It's not corruptible. It doesn't fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. That's what the Scripture speaks about. But the appropriation of the promises and the realization and the application of these things in our lives is a matter of discipline in the Christian experience. And so even though we still struggle with sin in this life, still struggle with a lot of different things in this life, when we get to heaven, all those things will be banished. And that's the wonder and joy of heaven, is that when we get to heaven, all those things are gone. Shadows and sorrows will cease. There'll be no more. But until that point, our desire, should be our godly desire, is to obey God's word and experience this sense of his power and presence in our lives as we get closer and closer to heaven. And so there is indeed a spiritual land to possess. As a matter of fact, the picture of Israel going into the land and the battles that they fought in the land is a picture of the battles we fight in the Christian life. Just as they had adversaries in the Canaanites, and even though there are strongholds that had to be overcome, they did that in the strength of the Lord. And that's the same way in the Christian life. There are strongholds that are developed in our own walk with the Lord that we have to defeat with the Lord's help. There are adversaries, the world, the flesh, and the devil, that we have to overcome in order to experience the inheritance spiritually God has given to us. And so we need to rest in His promises. We need to rely on His presence. We need to know all those things. Joy fellowship with one another, strengthen one another, encourage one another. That's how we succeed in the Christian life. And so Joshua is being told here that he needed to move ahead with the children of Israel. God said to him in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. It's just a matter of you appropriating it. You know, there's a great verse found in 2 Corinthians says that we triumph in Christ. We always triumph in Christ. Is it true that we are always in a state of victory? I doubt it. But God's word says we should be. And so if we're not, and God's word says it, there must be something that's failing on my side of the equation and yours as well. And so that's where we need to make sure that we're obedient to God's word. So the first thing I'd like to bring out here in verses 1 through 6 is that indeed there is a land to possess, a spiritual land to possess. And for the Christian, God has not intended for you, listen carefully to this, to live the measly Christian life, overcome with problems and difficulties and attitude issues and everything else. He doesn't want us to live that way. He wants us to live victorious. And that's what His word tells us. I didn't say sinless. We all still struggle with sin, but still to move ahead and progress in our Christian life. And that's what the children of Israel were being encouraged to do here. The 40 years was behind. Now the nation is going to go into the land to possess the land. And God says, you go into the land, I'm going to go with you, and whatever area has, as far as you go, whatever place you put your foot down, that'll be yours. That's what God wants for you and for me, to move forward in the Christian life. Philippians chapter 3 says, Paul said very clearly, it should be a verse that all of us take to heart. I press, that means there's resistance. When we have to press, that means there's, you know, when we run a race or we're on a bike or anything like that, if there's resistance from the wind, we have to press and move forward. There's adversity. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so we need to press ahead. And so here the children of Israel were being reminded there's indeed a land to possess. But secondly, there would be a law to obey. First, a land to possess, and then a law to obey. Look what it says here in verse 6. This is the first of three exhortations to be strong and of good courage. Be strong and good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. God here is giving the very clear command. No blessing unless there's obedience. Now for some of us, we look at these verses and say, well, that's Old Testament, something different from the New. Not at the core of the principle there of obedience to the Lord. If you want the Lord's best, if you want His blessing, you have to be obedient to His word. If you're going to just take verses out of context and take a verse here and take a verse there like you would on a smorgasbord cafeteria, don't expect God's fullest blessing on your life. He wants you to obey His word. And obedience is what's going to bring the blessing. Don't forget that phrase. Obedience brings blessing. It doesn't mean that you're entitled to, you know, having all the riches in the world because you're obedient to the Lord. The Lord may not give you any money at all. That's not the principle that we see in the scriptures. But we do see spiritual blessing in obedience to God's word. And notice how it says it here in verse 7. Only be strong, very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law all the law, full obedience to the law. Now you have examples in the scriptures like Saul, King Saul. He was obedient to a point. But when he went out to do battle against the Amalekites, he didn't follow the Lord all the way, and he suffered as a result. He didn't exterminate the enemy, and that's much the same way with us. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, mortify the deeds of the flesh. And he gives a list of what some of those are, the more overt sins. Then he says, but also put to death these, anger, wrath, malice. Those are attitudinal sins, things that are hidden. They're not so obvious. Some things are obvious and some things are not. And so God says we need to take care of those things, even the hidden things in our lives, and deal with them before the Lord. That's the only way there's going to be blessing. That's the only way we're going to enter into our inheritance, to realize and appreciate all that God has given to us. When we get to heaven, we'll understand the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We'll understand the fullness of our companionship with Christ. We'll understand all these blessings because we're in heaven. But right now, it's a matter of progressive sanctification. Right now, we can say, well, the Holy Spirit has helped me out here. The Holy Spirit has helped me out there. We want to be aware and appreciate everything that God has in store for us. And as we are obedient to God's word and we move in that direction, we'll feel that even in a greater way year after year, as least we should. But some of us may not be doing that. And so this chapter before us is the prerequisites for entering into our spiritual inheritance and appreciating all that God has for us. And so the first thing is to realize this. There is indeed a land to possess, a spiritual land to possess. Secondly, there is a law to obey. Thirdly, there is a lesson to avoid. Look with me at verse 10. We stopped our reading at verse 9, now verse 10. It says, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess. And verse 12, to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. This interesting incident with these 2.5 tribes is filled with spiritual lessons for you and for me. What's happening here in verses 10 through 15? The whole tribe, I should say the whole nation of Israel, was made up of 12 tribes, as we know. But these 2.5 tribes identified here in verse 12, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Manasseh had part of their tribe locate in one part of Israel and settle there, and the other tribe settled in another area. So it was only the half-tribe of Manasseh. They said, as they came into the land of Israel, up to the Jordan River, they said, we're content with settling right here. Now, modern day, this is called the Golan Heights, modern day, also called Bashan in the Old Testament scriptures. Now, the Golan Heights is good property. It's elevated. You can see across the countryside. It's got obviously great grazing land. If you were to have traced this through in the Old Testament scriptures, it was very nice property. And it was to be sought after. And so when the nation of Israel came up to that point of going into the promised land as a group, they were a whole group. They were all 12 tribes and all the body together to go into the land. These 2.5 tribes split off. And they said, we want to stay here because we like the property here. It's good. We like it. You guys just go ahead and we'll stay here. That's the story here. And you can see it as you trace it through in the Old Testament accounts. Now Moses had to say to them and sternly rebuke them and say, no, we're a unit. We're going into the land. If you want to come back out and you want to settle here on the border, that's up to you. But be mindful of this fact that we're all together and we have to do battle as a nation. Now, in the same way, there's a spiritual lesson here for the church. Everyone who has trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior are part of the body of Christ. Whether you want to do spiritual battle or involved in spiritual warfare or anything like that, it's part of the territory, we might call it. You know, when you became a Christian, you automatically got a major enemy. He's called the devil. And he's going to want to trip you up. He's going to want to deceive you. He's going to hold you back from entering into your possessions that you have in Christ. He's going to do that. But also, we have the world with all its allurements, with all its attractions to try to draw you away. Plus, you have the flesh that you have to deal with as well. Something within that you still have to deal with. When Moses was commissioned to do leadership for the nation of Israel, God said, put your hand into your bosom and pull it back out. And he saw it was lepers. Even at that point, when he was being commissioned to be God's people, he still had to deal with the sins of the flesh. Those, that trinity of evil, the world, the flesh, and the devil, can hold us back from moving ahead and progressing into the things of Christ and entering our spiritual inheritance and moving from victory to victory in the things of Christ. Just like it was here with the children of Israel. And so these 2.5 tribes said, no, this is comfortable. We like this. We like the comforts of this area. You go and do the battles and we'll stay right here. Moses said, no, can't do that. You have to be involved as well. Whether you opt to stay in the border and live on the border, that's up to you. But let me tell you what happens when you do that. When you take that position of just being so-so in your commitment to the Lord, you'll suffer the same consequences, I think, that the children of Israel did. These 2.5 tribes in particular. Let me show you a quick verse. Just turn for just a moment. You have to see this for yourself. In 1 Chronicles, not Corinthians, but 1 Chronicles chapter 5. What was the consequence of living on the border and not going full steam into the Christian life? Let me show you. 1 Chronicles chapter 5. The area of vulnerability for the nation of Israel was always to the north. This property, the Golan Heights, called today, is in that northern area. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 26. Look at it right here with your own eyes. Maybe you underline it like I do in my Bible to remind me so I can find it. 1 Chronicles 5:26. So the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria. That was a nation, enemy nation of the nation of Israel. That is Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria. And what did he do down the road from what Joshua 1 we read about? He carried the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh into captivity. He took them to Halal, Habor, Hara, and the river Gozan to this day. There is a consequence of partial commitment to the Lord, and it's being taken away by the things of this world. And that's what we read here in 1 Chronicles chapter 5. But not only that, how about our descendants? I've said this before, I know I have. Some of you might have remembered it. But in Mark chapter 5, when the Lord Jesus Christ was coming with his disciples to a certain area, they came to the area of the Gadarenes. Remember who was there? There was a Gadarene maniac running amongst the tombs. No man could tame this person. And eventually the Lord came into that area, and he cast the demon out of this man. And it says that the demons went and they filled the swine, the pigs that were there, and they rushed down the mountainside into the water and drowned. Those inhabitants were swine herders. But it was in the nation of Israel's land. The Gadarenes were the descendants of the Gadites. You see the connection? When you don't have full obedience, it not only affects you, but it can affect your future generation who also want to live on the border and who want to take up an occupation, perhaps, like it was here with the Gadites, the Gadarenes later in the time of Christ to be swine herders, something that was abhorrent to any Jewish person. And so there are consequences for lack of commitment to the Lord. And so there is the lesson to avoid. There is the land to realize, the land to possess. There is indeed a law to obey, and there's a lesson to avoid. And that's the lesson. And God doesn't put all arrows on it and put it in big letters and all that. You have to figure it out and obey it and apply it. Apply it and obey that principle for yourself. Finally, there is a leader to obey. Verse 16. It says, so they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Now, you were listening to the words of the twins when they sang. It's one of the lines right there. I heard that we will follow the Lord. And this is exactly the principle that we see right here, to follow the Lord. And so that's what is being said. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Be strong. Notice at the very end, verse 18, only be strong and of good courage. And so the requirement to follow the Lord, he's a person. We're not following a constitution. We're not following rules that are made up. We're not even following the church. We're following a person, the Lord. And in Hebrews chapter 2, he's called the captain of our salvation. And to highlight the spiritual picture this whole chapter has before us, just as the nation of Israel were going into the physical land, so too the church, Christians, have the opportunity to go into a spiritual inheritance and appropriate and appreciate that. And just as the nation of Israel had to follow their leader, Joshua, so too the church and individual Christians have to follow their leader, the Lord Jesus. As a matter of fact, Joshua and Jesus are the same names. Joshua means Jehovah saves, and that's the Hebrew form. The Greek form of the word is Jesus, and they're the same thing. As a matter of fact, you read through the book of Hebrews, sometimes you have to take that extra time to differentiate, as I've mentioned here before, between who's being referred to, Joshua in the Old Testament or the Joshua, Jesus, in the New. And so there is the requirement to follow the Lord, to be obedient to him, to be strong and of good courage. And as we head now into now the new year, 2021, the question is, are you willing to follow the Lord, the captain of our salvation, as he leads us into his inheritance and the inheritance that we have in him? And in Joshua chapter 3, when they begin that process of going through the Jordan River, the Ark of the Covenant, which is another great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, went into that water. The waters divided. And then the children of Israel followed that Ark of the Covenant. And it's a wonderful picture of following the Lord, as we identify with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. That's all pictured by that Ark of the Covenant going down into the waters of the Jordan River. Well, we're on the brink of a new year. We're just starting out. We want to start it out in a good way. We want to start it out realizing there's a land to possess, but a requirement to obey his word. And then also to make sure that we avoid the lessons, the painful lessons that the children of Israel experienced, some of them. And then also that there's a leader to obey. And so this is the time. Now is the time to move ahead. What other time is there? I mean, one day all of us will be in glory. We don't want to say, oh, I should have done it better. We want to say, Lord, give me my inheritance. Just like Caleb, who said, Lord, give me this mountain. Just like Joshua, who was in the tabernacle, it says in Numbers 33, he was in the tabernacle all the time. He was there looking to see what the Lord would want him to do. That's the type of attitude we want to have as we head into the new year. And as we do, God will bless and he'll encourage and he'll strengthen your heart as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that you would speak to our hearts through your Spirit today. Help us, Lord, to gain and learn from the lessons that we have before us here in the Old Testament that were part of the experiences of the children of Israel. We thank you again for your precious word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that reminds us of these things. We pray that indeed you would speak to our hearts and propel us into the new year with an attitude of victory. We ask these things, giving thanks in the name of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.